Welcome to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by Ambitious Radio. Whether you are a new marketing consultant, national consultant, or someone considering the Ambit opportunity, if you are looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with some of today's most influential Ambit leaders as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can go apply immediately to your business after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, welcome back to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, and we are so excited as we are every week. The energy is for real. Today we have a young man that has made it to executive consultant. He's in the Comma Club. He has been on the cover of multiple Success From Home magazine covers. He fast-tracked to regional consultant, fast-tracked to senior consultant. He is a cold market expert. And on top of all that, he graduated cum laude with a doctorate in pharmacy. Today we've got Dr. Ryan with us. How are you, sir?
I am doing phenomenal, Doug. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, you know what? I'm excited. We were able to get our schedules coordinated. I know we got two busy guys, and you and I have bumped into one another at the last few events. And thank you so much for carving out some time. I know how busy things are. And as we get started, my name is Doug Parker. I'm a senior consultant out of the McKinney, Texas area, and we're always appreciative of the great guests that we have that are investing in other consultants. There's whatever, 250,000, 300,000 consultants out there in Ambit Energy, and there are only a few. I think it's the 0.001% of them are executive consultants, and so we've got one live with us today. And we want to learn from you the things that have worked for you, the things that you've kind of not worked, how you got through those times. And so we'll just kind of dive right in and kind of talk about the importance of your why. And has it changed as you've, gone from the different levels and now at executive? Tell us about your why whenever you started the business.
Yeah, absolutely, Doug. First things first, I want to thank you for having me on your show. I mean, it is an extreme honor to be here. I mean, just the level of talent and people you've had on this call. I mean, you've had, just million-dollar earners on this call, just phenomenal people, incredible people that are just helping people all over Ambit Nation. And I can't thank you enough for having me on this call. And I just feel so honored and really excited to be able to share some nuggets of wisdom and my story to people and thousands and thousands of people all over this country listening in, and people that are literally just starting out in Ambit just yesterday to people that have been in this business, 6, 7, 8 years now. I mean, it's just incredible to see how we've come. And, Doug, I'll tell you what, you're going through this business when you first get started and to where you are now, your why certainly changes dramatically. And I could tell you, when I got into this business initially, my goal wasn't initially to become financially free. It wasn't to, make thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a month. I didn't have big goals, dreams, ambitions when I initially got into this business. My goal when I first got into this business was to make a couple hundred bucks a month to offset some of my travel expenses. And I figured if I could make a few hundred bucks a month, maybe $400 or $500 a month on a $429 initial investment back then, that I could actually be able to offset some travel costs and be in a position to take my parents on more vacations. And, I love my parents to death and I'm always thinking of them. And, they did a lot to bring me up and grow me up and through childhood and get me to the position I am today. And I wanted to be able to be in a position to give back to them. And I figured Ambit would be a perfect vehicle to allow me to do that. And, I kind of look back at the years and the years and years go by. And, when you realize that a few hundred bucks a month in Ambit is easily attainable and your goals just tend to stretch and you start to see a bigger and a bigger and a bigger picture. I started this business with the idea that I can make a couple hundred bucks a month. And now I'm looking at it and I go, I look at the sky's the limit. The potential in Ambit is just literally what you put into it. And what you get, what you put into it. And, I look at my goals and dreams and ambitions now, and they have totally changed. I've adopted just an extremely different mindset. I look at the world now, and, my goal now is just to do what I want, when I want, whoever I want to do it with, however I want, with whomever I want to, whenever I choose to do it. And it's become a reality. You know, today I could tell you, you know, Doug, I've been able to do some incredible, incredible things. I've been able to make my own rules and live my own life and wake up when I'm done sleeping. And sometimes I wake up and I figured out that I'm not done sleeping. I roll back on over and go back to sleep. You know, and it's incredible. I've been able to travel to some incredibly beautiful places. I've been able to travel to a mass majority of the beautiful beaches in the world. I've been able to go all over the Caribbean. I've been able to hang out and meet such phenomenal people like yourself, Doug. I've been able to just create the most incredible relationships in Ambit Energy. And I am not only just really grateful to Ambit just for a financial level, but I'm also grateful to Ambit for the incredible people and the connections and the network I've built and the legacy that I'm going to leave behind, you know, years and years and years and years into the future, and the amount of lives we can touch with this business. You know, you look at, you know, your corporate America job and, you know, what you can do in corporate America, and you look at it, you're in it for yourself, you know, and it's always about you and who you can step over to get to the next level. And, you know, I look at this business and it's all about bringing others up. It's all about pulling others up the ladder. It's all about pushing people ahead of you even in this business. And it just creates just a different dynamic and situation for all of us. And I'm just, you know, I look at the world now and I mean, like, you know, the sky's the limit at this point, Doug. And I like to toss it back to you with that.
Sure. No, I mean, and that's a lot of good stuff that you know, you talk about. You know, you got into it, maybe want to make a couple hundred bucks, you know, do some traveling with your parents and some of those things. Now, one thing that in our, you know, one of our pre-interview conversations, you had kind of talked about, you know, was, you know, obviously you have a doctorate degree in pharmacy and you know, you have really transitioned to where most of your time now is being spent on Ambit, right?
You know, I've been able to, you know, it's a lot of people, they look at someone like myself and they say, you know, you were making a great income, you had a great job, you know, I was making a six-figure income at a hospital, and they wonder, why would you ever look at something like this? Why would you ever want to do something like this? And, you know, the fact is, when you work at a job, I wasn't making a great income, but I didn't have any time freedom. You know, I was doing overnights, I was working day shifts, I was doing swing shifts, double shifts. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. You have no control over your time. And in addition to that, you have no control over your schedule. And it, even more important than that, your income is literally as good as the hours you put in. The fact is, when I work, I get paid. When I work, I get paid. If I don't work, I don't get paid. And if I continue not to work, I continue not to get paid. And what I'll tell you is this, you know, what I put into Ambit today, you know, over the last 5 years, I will continue to be paid for the rest of my life, regardless if I ever work again. And I could never say that working at the hospital. And, you know, you look at that and you just do a comparison. A lot of people think that, you know, direct sales and, it, you know, is difficult and it's hard. But the fact is, you know, what hard is working at a job every single day of your life, you know, getting in a car, you'd rather not drive, getting on the highway, getting stuck in traffic. By the time you get to work, you're aggravated. You punch in with a button, you work with a bunch of people you don't really like, a boss you hate. All day long, you're praying and hoping and looking at that clock for your lunch break. You know, your lunch break comes along and you're super excited. And the entire day, you're planning on exactly what you're going to eat in your lunch break. And, you know, you get to your lunch break and it's short-lived. You get to your lunch break super excited and, you know, it's time to roll back into work again. And you put a couple more hours in and all day long, you're looking at that, looking at the clock. And as soon as that clock hits 5 o'clock or whatever time you get out, get back in that car you don't like, get stuck in traffic again. And by the time you get home, you got to cook the kids some dinner and, watch a couple hours of television. And the next day you repeat. And, you know, people go through this cycle, you know, 5 days a week, 4 weeks every month, month after month after month, year after year after year. And their entire lives just literally go by. And, you know, they wake up 20 years, 30 years, 40 years later, and they wonder where their life went. And, you know, I could tell you this, not exactly from experience, but I could tell you this from talking to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Because, you know, my time working at the hospital, I've been able to build some connections. I'm working with just some phenomenal patients. And, you know, I always like to ask them, you know, what do you – you know, I asked them about their life, what they liked about it, what they didn't like about it. And a lot of times, you know, as they're getting closer and closer to that age where they're going to leave this earth, they start to share these thoughts and philosophies with me. And I always ask them what they regretted. What would they do differently if they can go back and do it all over again? And a lot of times they tell me, you know, what I'll tell you is, if I can go back and I could do it all over again, I wouldn't have worked so hard for money. Because what they've shared with me is this. They spent their entire lives working for money. And their entire lives went by and they just drilled themselves and worked themselves to death at a job. And they got to the age they're at now and they finally realized that they spent all this time working so hard for money in order to take care of the people they love and their family and their kids. And the fact is, they never got a chance to really spend time with their family and their kids. And their entire lifetime went by and they spent themselves slaving away at a job to buy this house that they couldn't live in for their family that they couldn't spend time with. And they're looking back and it's a life of regret, and it's something that really, it's like sits, it's like an 800-pound stone on their chest. And, you know, I think about it sometimes and it totally eats me away inside. And, you know, I think it's a big reason why I push so hard and I work so hard as an entrepreneur, because I realized and I made the decision that I didn't want to watch my life go away. I didn't want to work hard for a boss so they can create a legacy and a life worth living for themselves and their family. And I'm just going to sit here as a rat in the race. And, you know, I think people might think it's crazy, you know, coming from the income level I've come from at my own personal job. But the fact is, it's all the same. You know, whether you make $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 a year, the fact is you're stuck in a rat race that cycles for 30, 40 years. And by the time you're actually done, by the time you finally reach that ripe retirement age that we're all yearning to get to and that we're taught to and basically brainwashed to look forward to, by the time that moment comes and that pinnacle that you look at comes in your life, that so-called pinnacle, the fact is most of your years are gone. And you know, your family have moved on and your kids probably have kids and they're busy and they have their own things going on and your life kind of just spirals by. And what I'll tell you, Doug, is this, you know, I never want to be in a place where that would ever happen to me. And that's why it's worth it to go out and take an extra 3 hours or 5 hours or 10 hours or 15 hours a week to build a business part time. You know, you work part time on your fortune and, you know, full time on your life income at your job. And, you know, and that's why we do it. You know, it's worth the sacrifice, because the fact is you're either going to pay up now or you're going to pay up later. And what I'll tell you is, if you pay up later, you're going to have to pay with interest, and it's very expensive. I'd rather put the work in now and put the effort in now and put the diligence in now and make the extra effort and take a couple of hours here, a couple of hours there, and build a legacy so I don't have to continue running around a rat race for the rest of my life.
Yeah, no, that makes a huge amount of sense. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions, and these are kind of rapid-fire questions, but they don't necessarily have to have a rapid-fire answer. But what would you say is one of the things that has most contributed, one of your personal habits, to your success?
You know, it's being consistent. Consistency, for sure, is the most important thing that has led to my success up until this point. You know, because a lot of people kind of just do the business when they want to do the business, which is whenever they want to do the business, which is typically never. And they always talk about getting around to it. And I've been very consistent in my actions. I've been very scheduled. I know exactly when I'm building my business. I know exactly when I'm making phone calls. I know exactly who I'm calling the night before, because I always have index cards and I'll write out exactly what I need to do, when I need to do it, and who I need to do it with, and to be able to get it done. So I'm very, very planned in my actions. I don't really move at random. I know exactly what needs to be done, and I take measured steps to be able to get it done.
Gotcha. Well, and that makes a huge difference. And I like what you said about, you know, they'll do it when they get around to it or when it's convenient or when they want to do it, but being disciplined and putting a game plan together every day. So you say you take notes on note cards.
Uh-huh. Okay. Absolutely. Every night before I go to bed, I have index cards, and you know, I know exactly who I'm calling, exactly the time I'm calling them. And I even have the times I called them before and didn't get them, and what I did when I called them, if I left a voicemail or didn't leave a voicemail. So I have a schedule and exactly what I'm doing and a game plan. And I don't move at random, because I feel if you move at random, you're going to get random results. But if you have a very structured game plan, and I don't care if you're doing the business, you know, 10 minutes a day. The fact is, if you say you're going to do it 10 minutes a day, or you're going to do it 20 minutes a day, you better do it 20 minutes a day. You're not doing it 10 minutes on Monday, and you don't remember in a week and a half that you got to put another 10 minutes in. You need to be very structured in your approach and do what you say you're going to do.
So do you have on those index cards, do you have one of those little boxes like you put index cards in, kind of old school? Did you keep up
absolutely.
With it?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I thought it was the second grade.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I share that because, you know, a lot of people will talk about different things they use, Evernote, or they'll use Outlook, or they'll use a CRM or whatever. And here's the thing I have found, guys. Use what is effective for you. I personally like to use digital stuff when it comes to, you know, my written list. So I have an Excel spreadsheet, and that works a lot better for me. I use Outlook like a beast. I mean, that's what I operate off of. I have it color-coded, and every night I look at it, and I see, you know, what is it I've got going on tomorrow, and what did I not get in a day that I need to carry over to tomorrow that just didn't rise to the priority or whatever the case was. But if your method is more manual, or you kind of quote-unquote like old school, hey, do it. It's effective. If that works for you, the main thing is to have a process and stick to that process and consistently, persistently, you know, get after it and make it happen. So that's something I haven't heard in a while. But it's funny. My daughter just finished up her freshman year of college, and she literally had the same thing. She had little note cards, and she had some fluorescent pink ones that there was some designation why they were fluorescent pink. And in her New Testament class that she was going through, she had them in there and had it broken down and had them in a little box. And I'm thinking, that's kind of cool. You know, she's going back old school and just doing it. So that is cool stuff. Now, you had mentioned, I mean, you're very outgoing, you know, great, you know, talker, great guest, all that kind of stuff. But you said that, at one point that really you were more introverted, and that, until you got involved in Ambit, you really didn't have a whole bunch of warm market people you could go out to. So can you shed a little light on kind of what you were like before, and then what the paradigm, what the shift was? What was that made you change and become so outgoing?
Absolutely, Doug. And you know, this is a big deal for me. And you know, when I first got started in this business, I was scared to talk to people. I'm an introvert by nature. I'll be honest with everyone on this call and say that, you know, if you look at 100% of invitations you get to hang out and go to barbecues and hang out with some friends, or go out on a Friday night, or go to a wedding, I used to turn down about 98% of them. And I didn't get that many. So I used to turn down a lot of them. So I wasn't going anywhere. And, you know, I'm the kind of person that I do like to be left alone. I love being by myself in my house, and I like doing what I want to do, and I like to control my own time. And I'm very introverted by nature. And a lot of people look at me now and they say, well, Dr. Ryan is, you know, he's really outgoing. He's out there. You know, he's someone that gets it done. But the fact is, I wasn't like that when I first got started. I think people sometimes look at the picture now and they think it's always been like that. You know, you look at, you know, your million-dollar earners, or $5 million earners, and $10 million earners, and you think they were always great, but that's not the case. And I certainly wasn't great at all when I first got started. And, you know, when I used to pick up the phone to call prospects, I was extremely nervous. I mean, I was shaking. I was scared, you know. When I used to invite people to come out to live business presentations, inside my head on a subconscious level, I used to hope that they wouldn't show up. I mean, think about that for a second. I used to invite people to a meeting, and I would hope that they wouldn't come. I mean, and because you know why? Because I was scared when they got there, what would happen, or what I would do, or how to close them, or how I was going to get them into the business. And I was scared of that level of communication that would occur, you know, maybe at the meeting or right after the meeting, and it scared me to death. And you know, and people on this podcast right now, it might blow their mind to think about that. And I remember inviting people to look, and you know, hoping they wouldn't show up. And when they would show up, I'd get them into the front of the room. And you know, and I was scared, you know, when I first got started about this business. And I remember, you know, the first time they asked me to speak in front of the room, it wasn't even planned. You know, I was just thrown up there in front of 130 people to do, you know, part one of the business presentation. And, you know, I mean, you know, I'm totally just taken out of my comfort zone. And, you know, what I found was, and one thing that I learned very early on that has really contributed to my success, is I found out that the biggest part of becoming successful in this business is stepping outside your comfort zone. And I know you hear this a lot. You know, a lot of people say you need to get outside your comfort zone in order to be better. You need to be able to be personally better. You need to listen to self-motivation and become a better person. And, you know, one thing I learned early on was becoming uncomfortable. You know, a lot of people hold themselves back in this business because exposing this business to other people makes them uncomfortable. And what I found in this business and what I learned very on was the fact that, you know, the more uncomfortable you make yourself in this business, the more successful your business actually becomes. And I'll tell you what, you know, as I moved through this business and I progressed through this business, I found I was always looking for ways to make myself more uncomfortable. You know, if that meant starting a conversation with a random stranger in an elevator, or calling a prospect on someone else's list, or even asking a police officer that was writing me a ticket, you know, how many people do you know that use electricity? You know, I was always looking for ways to stretch my comfort zone because I know that's the only way to become more successful. And, you know, a lot of people are just, they're really uncomfortable with making themselves uncomfortable. But the fact is, in this business, you don't have to make yourself uncomfortable forever. The fact is, you have to make yourself uncomfortable for a 3 to 5 year span of time so you can become comfortable for the rest of your life. And the fact is, you know, there's nothing normal about doing this business. And this is another thing I learned very on. There's nothing normal about what we do. And, you know, most people in this world, they strive to be normal. They strive to be in the box. They strive to be like everyone else. They strive to have commonality with the rest of the world. And, you know, if you really think about it, you really dissect it and you really look into it, guys, do you know what normal is? Normal is being depressed, in debt, and broke. And do you know what abnormal is? Abnormal is being financially free. Abnormal is being able to do what you want, when you want, with whoever you want, however you want to do it. Being abnormal is being able to travel the world and hang out with your friends and family and take your kids out to the vacation they deserve and the life they need to have. And, you know, that's abnormal. There's nothing normal about being financially free. So the fact is, in this business, if you want to make it to the top and you want to be great and you want to get to where you need to be, you need to be abnormal. And successful people will do what unsuccessful don't do. And, you know, being wealthy and achieving your dreams isn't normal, like I said. And, you know, it's so far from normal. If you look at statistics, you know, if you look at this country as a whole, 5% of the people, you know, control 95% of the wealth, and 95% of the people control the remaining 5%. So you're looking at the mass majority of people are basically fighting over nothing. We're just fighting over this slim 5%. And, you know, what I'll tell you is, you know, I know every person that's listening to this podcast right now, they chose to be part of that 5% of people that controls the 95% of the wealth. And you made that choice, but now it's time to literally take massive action and enforce that choice. Nothing worth doing in this life is easy. If anyone will ever tell you that you'll make tons of money and be massively successful and you don't have to do any work for it, that's literally run in the other direction and call the police. It takes effort. It takes persistence. It takes consistency to be successful. And what I can tell you is, I can promise you that, is if you can direct that kind of persistence and consistency into Ambit Energy, it'll yield a much higher return on that investment than any average person in any other vehicle that's out there today. And we're literally positioned in the greatest shift of wealth that'll ever occur in our lifetimes. And there's going to be books written about what we do and the success stories about what's coming out of this. And you want to be able to hop on that bandwagon and take full control over it. And I look back to when I was shaking in my boots, inviting people to take a look at this business presentation when I first got started, to where I am now. And I mean, today I can get in front of, you know, groups of thousands and tens of thousands of people and not even worry about it. And it was such a shift in growth that happened because I was always looking for ways to get a little outside the box, make myself a little more uncomfortable. And, you know, one thing I wanted to go into on this call is cold prospecting. Because when I first got started initially, I didn't have a large circle of influence. I didn't have all these people to reach out to and call up and invite to take a look at the business opportunity. That just didn't exist for me. I had to literally start with a blank slate whenever I first got started in Ambit Energy. And, you know, so cold market recruiting has been very, very, very near and dear to my heart. And it's actually what's helped me get from, you know, regional consultant to senior consultant to executive consultant, and obviously from executive consultant to national consultant. And what I want to talk about is how I go about doing cold market recruiting and how I go about speaking to people I don't know. And I go about it really simple, very direct way. When I go out there and I'm adding people to my list and finding people to expose to the business. And it's something I've done over the last 5 years and love to share it with you guys. And, you know, like, let's say for instance, you know, I'm on the train in New York City where I live now, and I'm on the train and I'm sitting next to a guy, and, you know, I'm looking at him and he's got his shiny new phone out. And as you know, in today's society, we're all grounded in our phones. I feel like more people live more in their phones than they do in real life, which is why I'm so paper-based. I like to write everything down on paper, as we discussed before, because I feel like if you don't write it down, it doesn't exist. But anyway, so if I'm on the train in New York City and I got a guy, and let's, you know, he's next on his brand new phone, and I'm looking at it. It doesn't have to be a brand new phone, but, you know, everyone's got a smartphone these days, and I look at him and I go, hey, what kind of is that the new Android phone? And, you know, most phones are Android or iPhone. I go, is that the new Android? Is that the new Note 5? And he looks at me and he says, oh yeah, well, no, actually, this is actually the Note 4 still. But I'm like, okay, great. Well, how is it? You know, I was thinking about, I was looking into that phone. How does it work out for you? And he goes, well, you know, it's okay. You know, it does the job. It, you know, it's been pretty good. And then what I'll do is I basically just did that to initiate conversation. A lot of times when you want to initiate conversation, I like to ask people a question about something they're holding, using, they have on. Other times I'll be complimentary. I'll compliment, you know, their car or something they're wearing or something they have of interest. But a big favor of mine is just starting a conversation about people's phones, because they always have them out and they're always holding them. And it's the easiest thing to do, because I just use the same thing over and over again. So we kind of initiated that conversation, and I'll say, hey, are you from around here? And he says, oh yeah, well, you know, actually I'm from Brooklyn. And I go, great. Well, did you grow up in Brooklyn? And he says, well, you know, I've been in Brooklyn for, I don't know, 20 years, almost my whole life. And I say, great. Awesome. What do you do for a living? And he says, well, you know, I'm a carpenter. And I said, oh, great. How long you been a carpenter? And he said, well, you know, I've been a carpenter for 10 years now. And I'll say, well, you know, hey, you must really love it. I always like to lead in with that question. Hey, you must really love it. And he goes, no, not really. You know, it just, it kind of just pays the bills. And you see, what I'm doing is I'm forming him. You know, a lot of times we hear this acronym FORM, you know, it stands for family, occupation, recreation, and money. And, you know, we like to center conversations around people's money, people's families, people's what they do for their living, their occupation, and like what they like to do for fun, recreation. And I like to center my questions around, you know, what they do for a living and if they really like it or didn't like it and how long they've been doing it. And I'll kind of put the conversation along that route. And somewhere in that conversation, as it's going, I like to turn the conversation back over into a prospecting conversation. And the way I do that is I'll ask them, I'll say, hey, Bob, let me ask you something. You know, just out of curiosity, and I like that line, just out of curiosity, because it's a transitional statement. I say, hey, Bob, just out of curiosity, you know, do you consider yourself a money-motivated person? And Bob might look at me and he might say, you know, any one of three things. He might say, well, yeah, I am. Or, oh, yeah, definitely I am. Or he might say, well, it depends. And, you know, sometimes very rarely they'll say no. Now, what I'm looking for is I'm basically using this as a sorting question. Because if I'm asking Bob if he considers himself a money-motivated person and he turns around and he says no, well, I'm not looking for Bob. I don't want Bob in my business. And why would I keep talking? Why would I even approach Bob about the business if he just identified himself as a non-money motivated person? Now, if Bob says, well, you know, yeah, I mean, yeah, I kind of do. And if he approaches me and says that, I'll say, you know, that's probably not who I'm looking for either. I'm looking for someone that's really firm in their statement. Someone that says, yes, or definitely. Yeah. What do you got? That's the person I'm looking for. And if Bob comes back to me and he says, yes, or definitely, I'm definitely always looking. I'm always, you know, I definitely consider myself a money-motivated person. I'll say, well, I'll tell you what, Bob, you know, I'm working with a company. We're doing some major expansion in the area. We're looking for a couple of sharp people. Well, listen, Bob, you know, I can't promise you anything, but do you at all look for new ways of making money in your spare time if it didn't interfere with what you're currently doing? And usually what will end up happening is if Bob said yes to being a money-motivated person, he'll say yes to keeping his options open for side projects to make a little extra money in his spare time. And when he says yes to that, the next thing I'll do is say, hey, great. Well, tell you what, Bob, you know, obviously right now is not the time and place to talk about it. I actually have to get off on the next stop. Well, let me go ahead and grab your name and number, and I'll get back to you when I get a chance. And I'll go ahead and I'll take my phone out of my pocket and pull it out and grab his name and number. And you see, the fact is, if you look at what I did there, there's a couple of core elements that went into that piece that I really want to emphasize. I asked him, you know, hey, look, do you consider yourself a money motivated person? First, I identified the fact that he's someone I need to speak to, and I'm looking for a yes on the answer. And the next thing I did is I told him, hey, look, I'm working for a company. We're doing some major expansion in the area. We're looking for a couple of sharp people. I'm part of that expansion team. And so I'm identifying exactly what I'm talking about. And I say, hey, look, I can't promise you anything. And what I'm doing is by saying I can't promise you anything, I'm saying that I'm not the final decision maker in what's going on here. I'm also telling him that I can't promise him a thing. The fact is, we may be able to offer him something, we may not. The fact is, it's up in the air. And it also puts him in a position where he's going to actually kind of puff up his chest a little bit and try to impress you. You see, you won't want to be in a position when you're out there recruiting cold market where you're out there impressing people. The fact is, you want people impressing you. You want people, you know, basically auditioning for this quote-unquote position. You don't want it to be the other way around, because what I'll tell you is if you run after people, they'll run away from you. And if you kind of take a step back from people, they'll take a step towards you. That's just how the way the world works. And the next thing I'll do is I'll just, you know, ask them a peak interest question. Hey, look, you know, do you all leave your options open for side projects to make a little extra money in your spare time? And he says yes to that. The next thing I'll say is, hey, great. You know, right now is not the time and place, but tell you what, let me grab your name and number and I'll get back to you as soon as I get a chance. Because what I like to say that's really important is right now is not the time and place to talk about it. Because I think the reason why a lot of people mess up at this point in the conversation is they start talking way too much about the opportunity, and they start mixing the invitation with the presentation. And in addition to that, a lot of times Bob might start asking me questions about what's going on, what kind of company, what's the name of the company, what's the role, what's the opportunity here that's in place. And I don't want to get into that right now. I don't want to give him a full blown out business presentation right now on the train. It's just not going to happen. So what I do to stop that process and to stop that conversation from going forward and going it into a place that I just really don't want it to go in, I'm just going to say, hey, look, right now is not the time and place to talk about it, but let me grab your name and number. I'll definitely get back to you when I get a chance. And the next thing I'm going to do as soon as I get his name and number, I want to get myself out of that situation. I want to leave. I want to maybe go to the next train cart, or I want to step out of the train. I just want to go somewhere else than sitting next to him, because I do not want him asking me any questions, because I don't even want to get into a position where I'm forced to give a business presentation over the phone. And what I'll do is I'll say, hey, great, Bob, you know, hey, look, it was great to meet you. Like I said, I'll give you a call when I get a chance, and I'll get up and I will start walking a couple of steps. And what I'll do a lot of times is when I get by maybe four or five steps, I'll turn around and I'll look at Bob and I'll say, hey, Bob, by the way, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm looking at my schedule this week is extremely, extremely busy. I got a million different things going on. But I'll tell you what, Bob, you know, I promise you I will call you as soon as I get a chance. I'll talk to you then. And then I'll walk away. And the reason I do that is I'm trying to rebuild some posture on the call, a posture on that conversation. Because you see, in this business, what you have to understand is that people associate success and your level of success and maybe even the amount of money you make with how busy you are. So the fact is, if you can pull off a posture where you're very straightforward, you're very confident, You're not stuttering in your words. Your chest is up. You're smiling in your talk. You're looking them directly in the eyes. You're acting as if you're a headhunter working for a $1 billion company, which you are. If you have that kind of belief level in yourself and in your business and your company, The fact is, they're going to give you their name and number 90% of the time. It is very rare that I don't get someone's contact information. And like I said, when I walk away, I always tell them, hey, look, I'm extremely busy. Got a million things going on, but I promise you I'll get back to you when I get a chance, because it rebuilds some posture in that conversation. And the more posture you can put into a conversation, the more serious that prospect will take you on that follow-up call when you actually do call them back. Because when they get that phone call from you or that voicemail from you, they will call you back right away if you postured yourself correctly on that initial approach. And the last thing I wanted to go into is actually calling that prospect back, because so many people drop the ball at this point. So I got Bob's number. I'm looking at it. You know, it's in my phone. Maybe, you know, a day and a half has gone by, and I had a spare moment. You know, I'm eating lunch. I'm looking at my list, and I said, you know, I do got to give Bob a call back. And, you know, so I call Bob, and I go, hey, Bob, hey, how are you? Dr. Ryan here. How you doing? And he goes, oh, I'm doing good. And I say, hey, Bob, look, you know, I don't have much time right now, but listen, I told you, you know, as soon as I got a chance to give you a call and my schedule opened up, I'd give you a call, and I'm giving you a call like I promised. And I don't have a lot of time to talk right now, Bob, but do you happen to be near a computer? And if Bob says, no, I'm not near a computer, well, I'll say, Bob, let me ask you, can you get to a computer right now? And let's say Bob says, well, you know, right now I'm actually changing the oil. Can't get near a computer right now. And I'll say, okay, Bob, I'll tell you, let me ask you something. You know, Bob, when we initially met and I had asked you if you kept your options open to, you know, making money outside of what you're currently doing, if it didn't interfere with what you're currently doing, and you said yes, were you just messing around or were you completely serious? And what I'm doing in this part, what'll happen at this point in the conversation, he'll go, no, I was serious. And I'll say, great, because I want to make sure we weren't wasting each other's time. And I'll tell you what time works for you tonight, this evening? Would 7 o'clock or 9 o'clock work better for you, where you'll have 15 minutes of uninterrupted time and be able to get in front of a computer so I could walk you through some stuff on the internet? And if Bob goes ahead and he says, well, you know, I could be in front of a computer at 7 o'clock, I'll say, great. So if I call you at 7 o'clock, you'd be in front of a computer and have about 15 minutes on your hands. And he says, yes. I'll say, great. Well, Bob, you are good at keeping appointments, aren't you? And he'll say, yes. And I'll say, great. And now I adopted a kind of serious tone on this conversation to set the appointment. So what I'll do is I'll kind of relax it a little bit by saying the next few words. I'll say, well, you know what, Bob, I'll tell you what. You know, the second I met you, I could tell you were a person of integrity and you're a person that does what they say they're going to do. And I totally appreciate that. And I tell you what, that's the exact kind of person that I like to work with. And I'll tell you what, give me a call at 7 o'clock. I'll walk you through some information. We'll see if it's for you or if it's not, and if you're a fit. And like I said, I can't promise you anything, but we'll talk at 7. Like I said, I'm in a bit of a rush now. I got to run, but I'll talk to you then. And what I'll tell you is this. If you input that little conversational piece in your follow-up call, because chances are when you call someone on that follow-up after getting their name and number cold market, chances are they won't be in front of a computer. They won't be ready to receive the information right away because you'll catch them at a random point in their life. And what you want to do is you want to reposture yourself at that point in the conversation, because if you don't reposture yourself on a follow-up call, what will end up happening is you might set that appointment for 7 o'clock p.m., but you'll call him at 7, he won't pick up. You'll set another appointment for a couple of days later, they won't pick up. And what will end up happening is you'll end up in this follow-up zone. And the more it seems like you're chasing a prospect and the more they're going to run away from you, and you'll end up in a space where you'll never get to get them in front of the information. So posture is extremely, extremely critical in this part of the approach, and I can't emphasize it enough. And if you actually follow this really simple blueprint, step by step is by step, what I'll tell you is your recruiting and the number of people you bring into this business and the amount of people you enroll will absolutely skyrocket. And, you know, with that, Doug, I'd love to toss it right back to you if you have any comments on that. Any input whatsoever.
I really enjoyed that, and there's a couple parts to it. So number one, you know, it's kind of the old act as if. So the reality is if you've got nothing to do, you know, and you're not important and you don't have a bunch going on, who wants to join your team and get to be part of that? So, you know, if you're not already that busy, you have to kind of say, hey, look, I got a bunch going on, and, you know, I'll follow up with you. I like that part about your creating urgency and that there's time. Instead of saying something like, oh, just call me next week, I always have my phone on, you know, something like that, there's no urgency. It's like when you go to the dentist, they write down a time for you to meet them 6 months later at like 7:35 a.m. on December the whatever, right? And you know, that's that many months in advance. So I love all the stuff you did there. I picked up a ton of nuggets in that. I mean, posture. I like the part about what kind of phone is that. The headhunter mentality of being a headhunter working for a $1 billion company. I mean, those are great nuggets that you really brought to the table. And you know, we're kind of nearing. We've got maybe 10-15 minutes left here, so I want to go through a couple more quick things. Because it's been great content so far. Let's talk a little bit about you get a new consultant that comes into the business. And when they come in, are there any books or any content that you recommend that they go through within that first week or 10 days?
Yeah, absolutely. I love GoPro, and I love the audiobook they've put together. And I try to get every new consultant that comes into my business that's local to me, or even if I could get it out mail to them, I absolutely get them over a copy of GoPro. Because it's really got some fundamental skills, mindset, and abilities that you need to really acquire to be a top-producing professional in today's market. And I highly recommend it. And as far as mindset goes and just being an entrepreneur, one of the biggest books that have been absolutely just mind-opening, and I wouldn't even be an Ambit today or an entrepreneur at the position I am today if it wasn't for that good old book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. I mean, that book literally just opened my mind up just to the world of entrepreneurship and owning your own business and creating leverage and building assets, limiting liabilities. You know, if you want to buy liabilities, be able to buy liabilities from income that's produced by assets like Ambit Energy. I mean, just the eye-opening, mind-blowing book that has just exposed me to a world that I wouldn't be in today if it wasn't for. So I would say GoPro and Rich Dad, Poor Dad for sure are my top two picks.
Gotcha. Those are both great. And one of the things, guys, that we have done with Ambitious Radio is we have a partnership with Audible.com. So if you have not already taken advantage of, I think you can get one or two free books by going to AmbitiousRadio.com. There's a banner there. You click on it, and you can actually download several books absolutely for free if you want to. So go check it out, and we would really appreciate you doing that, and it'll be great content for you. Now, one other thing, we're kind of in a little small break here. If you like what you're hearing and you would like to be notified of new guests, you can subscribe by texting the word AMBIT, A-M-B-I-T, to 69922. That's 69922. Just text the word AMBIT, A-M-B-I-T, and then we'll update you on the releases as we release these every Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. So great content there for all the folks that are tuning in. And you can forward that on to your downline and those kinds of things as well. So as we kind of jump back in the show for the very last few questions here, let's just talk about you personally a little bit. Not so much the business, but let's talk about, you're a hard-charging, fast-paced guy. I mean, I see you on Facebook. You're all over the country literally doing different things. But whenever you're kind of trying to recharge that battery of yours, what types of things do you like to do? Do you like to vacation? And if so, where, do you meditate? What kind of stuff do you do to recharge your mind?
Absolutely, Doug. Well, you know, I'm a big believer in keeping up one's mental, physical, spiritual, and financial pillars. I feel that you have to have them all. It's just in perfect synchrony to be able to just be an absolutely extraordinary person. And, you know, a lot of that just goes into just working really hard and self-development and obviously building your Ambit business and just being in touch with oneself. But I love to go on vacation. I love traveling to the Caribbean. I've been all over the Caribbean. I mean, I love St. Thomas, Puerto Rico, St. Lucia, St. Kitts, Barbados. Been to some just really, really exotic places, obviously Cozumel, Mexico and Bahamas and I mean, and you know, you go to these places like St. Lucia, and it just opens up your mind, because a lot of times you pull into port at some of these places, and you're just looking at just the lush scenery and the vegetation and the rolling hills and just the beautiful turquoise waters and the sun coming off of it and the boats in the harbor, and you see the seagulls. I mean, I can't even tell you, one time I pulled into Puerto Rico and I was on a cruise ship, and you know, just pulling into Puerto Rico through the fog and seeing the island emerge and just glittering against the horizon, and I looked down and I saw these dolphins that were like leading us into port, and these seagulls up above just leading us in, and it was just an incredible, impeccable experience. And you know, I look at it sometimes and it blows my mind, because I realize that a lot of people, you know, work their entire lives to just take one trip like this. And I kind of resonate back to how lucky and fortunate I am that I've built a business that's actually allowed me to travel to wherever I want in the world without having to worry about where I'm going to get the funds for it. And, you know, just to be able to sit on some of these beaches and go on some of these trips and visit some of these islands and take in the sunlight and the beaches, just some of the most incredible places in the world. I mean, that's what I like to do for fun, because I know if I put my head down and I work really hard, I know a trip's coming at me. I got a couple of great things on the plate. I'm going out to Bermuda in 2 months, I believe. I'm staying at the Fairmont Southampton, right there on the south shore of Bermuda. Just really incredible, beautiful sand. They have some incredible beaches out there, top 10 in the world. I got trips planned all over. I know I'm going to Vegas in December. Obviously going back to Texas and, you know, to meet up with all the family in September as well. And I got a cruise planned for late November. So I got a lot of great things on the plate. And another thing I like to do is just go to the gym and crank it out with some weights and just get some personal fitness in, because you can't let the temple go to waste. And the fact is, I'm a big believer in building up your physical being and making sure you're the best you can be. And it's not necessarily about competing against others, but just being a better person than you were before. Because I think a lot of times we look at other people and we like to compare ourselves to what they're doing and where they're traveling to and what they're doing and what, you know, and keep it up with the Joneses per se. But I feel that you just need to be a better version than yourself. You need to just work on continuously just improving yourself. You know, why don't you just work on making a little more money than you did last year, putting in a little more time than you did last year, maybe traveling to a few more places than you did last year. You can't compare yourself against others, but I feel like you're perfectly suited to compare yourself against yourself. And as long as you use yourself as your own measure and you always strive to be a better person and to continue to evaluate and sharpen your skills and abilities, I mean, you're just going to end up in just a completely wonderful place. And so, I mean, to answer that question, Doug, I love traveling, love going to beaches, love going to islands, love just drinking some rum punch on an island and listening to some reggae music. So I'm overly excited thinking about it right now.
I can tell, man. I can tell. It's exciting times. You know, you got me excited wanting to go do something. And one thing you mentioned was coming back to the Dallas area and coming to the Ambit family. And obviously, you're talking about ambition. So Ambition 10 is coming up. There are four pillar events per year. There's Ambition, which is the national conference that we have here in Dallas. And then there's Simulcast that is all over the country. And then there are two power trips that are done per year. And one of them was here in Dallas a few weeks ago. And there typically is another one in the Northeast. And what I hear is that this coming year, in 2017, that one of the power trips is going to actually be in Chicago. So that should be interesting as well. You want to make sure that you attend those events. There's lots of very, very good content that gets covered. It's great to go with other successful people, find out what's going on, get your team members there, and then there are attendee only bonuses also, so it is very significant to participate in those things. So as we wrap up the show, let's just go through a couple of things real quick. You know, average day, what does that look like for you? What time do you go to bed? What time do you get up? And is there any kind of rhythm that you keep? I know you said that, you know, you get up whenever you're tired of sleeping, but I mean, in general, is there a rhythm to what you do?
Absolutely. I'm pretty scheduled in what I do. And I do wake up when I set myself to wake up. So, I like to get at least about 8.5 hours of sleep in. Because that's how much we need time for. I destroy myself in the gym, I'm a big, I love going to the gym and destroying myself and building myself up again. So I need at least 8.5 hours to recover from that. And what I like to do is I have gym days and non-gym days. So on my non-gym days, I wake up at about 10:15 a.m. every day. And that's because I need to get on my 10:30 conference call every day. So I always start my morning call off. We have an excellent call in the morning by our very own million-dollar earner, Nir Golan. He hosts a call every single morning at 10:30 Eastern time, 9:30 Central time, 7:30 Pacific. And I'm on that call every single day. It's the first thing I listen to when I first wake up in the morning. And I feel that you need to listen to something positive in the morning. It's extremely, you know, we live in a really negative world. And a lot of times if you just let the negative of the world drip into you, it'll sink into you no matter how positive you are. And you need to be able to listen to a little bit of positivity every day to be able to push some of that negativity back out. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, if you were to picture your mind as a cup, and let's say that's cup A, and, you know, it's full of just gunky, used motor oil. And, you know, that, let's just say that represents our mind just filled with the negativity of the news, the people around us, potential prospects, and even some of our closest friends and family. And let's say we have another cup that's, you know, cup B, and it's full of clean, sparkling Britannica filtered water. And, you know, this represents our weekly meetings, daily conference calls, local training, simulcast, ambition. And we take this clean cup and we pour that water into the other cup that's filled with that motor oil, and we start flushing some of it out. What I'll tell you is that over time, it'll start displacing some of that gunky oil, and it'll leave that filthy cup A, it'll start to leave that cup clean. And we need to be mindful that we need to keep pouring clean water into our minds, because the world will continue to pour motor oil into it. I mean, you just turn on the news and it seems like the world every single day is ending. So I like to start my day off with a conference call, you know, a quick conference call to get myself up and running. And usually from there, I get dressed and I'll have my first meeting at about 1 p.m. And I'll put meetings throughout the day and usually have 3 or 4 meetings a day. And basically get back in at 9 o'clock, and usually around 9, I'm headed off to the gym or just finishing up on some emails and doing some paperwork, and usually off to bed at about 1:30, 2 a.m. That's usually when I like to go to bed. Unless there's a gym day the next morning, then I'll usually go to bed at about 12, and I'll get up at about 6:30 a.m., 7 a.m. to get off to the gym and just have an incredible 2-hour workout. So hope that answers the question in a really brief manner.
No, that's good, man. That's good information. And, you know, you always like to hear what different people do. So that's a pretty unique schedule, man. I couldn't sleep till 10 in the morning if the world was coming to an end. But I wake up about 4 o'clock in the morning. And so I force myself to stay in bed till 5:30, maybe 5:30, something like that. Otherwise, I'll run out of juice. But I go to sleep at about 9 o'clock at night. So my schedule is a little bit different than yours, different rhythm there. Well, you know, the last things that I've got here is that if you could go back and tell yourself one thing at any point in your life, what would that be that you would have told yourself, and at what point in your life would you have done that?
Wow, my gosh. Well, I think one thing, I would have liked to be one of those people who joined Ambit back in 2006.
That's what I'm talking about, absolutely.
I mean, my gosh, knowing what I know now, not that we don't have the same opportunity today, but I like to be an innovator. I like to take those hits in the beginning, and there were a lot of hits. And people have no idea how easy they have it now. Just coming into the business, systems are in place, videos are in place, trainings are in place, systems, conference calls. I mean, everything in the world is in place today. People don't know how phenomenal the system is today compared to how it used to be. But I would love to have strolled in 2006 and just totally teared it up. I would have put so much more work and effort into it, because when I first got started in this business, I put about 3 hours a week into it. I literally took my lunch break and my driving time, and I made a couple of phone calls every single day. And that's kind of the way I built it initially. And I would have just put my head down and went to work. And, you know, you wouldn't be hearing someone on the call today that, you know, it would just be a phenomenal difference, because what you put in the beginning, I mean, it just grows exponentially through time. I mean, you look at these guys like Ray Monty, who have just absolutely phenomenal leaders, and who have put their head down, went to work, and just hit it really hard, and what's come out of it. I mean, just created an absolute legacy. I mean, I would have put my head down and went to work in 2006 if I can go back. But, I mean, if I could really go back and tell myself to do anything differently, just work harder. Just put your head down and work harder initially, and the results just come out of it, and fruit of your labor just comes out later, and you can live off of that for the rest of your life and really enjoy it. So I would just say just work a lot harder, put a lot more work in initially, and reap the results that much later.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, Dr. Ron, I am so appreciative of you carving out time. We're recording this on a Saturday afternoon, and I know how busy times are, and just so appreciative of you and all the other guests. It's hard to believe now that we are up to about 20 Ambit consultants that have invested these hours with us, and it's just great information we can go back and reflect upon. We always ask that if you have enjoyed what you've listened to, subscribe, rate, and comment if there's anything that we can do better for you, or any questions that you might like to hear asked of the guest. Please do that. You can do it on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, anywhere that podcasts are found. You can do those things. And so appreciative of the listeners and the guests coming on and pouring into all of us. Exciting times. It really is. So thank you so much for coming on show.
Absolutely, Doug. And if I could, I love to get some feedback and hear from you guys. Feel free to add me on social media. You can Google me, Dr. Ryan Ambit. It'll pop up all my information, or you could doc. I also started a YouTube training channel, which I'm going to start releasing some really incredible content on, and how to handle objections and how to do cold market prospecting. I think I might even add some live videos of cold market prospecting there as well, and just how to handle things that come up in and out of our business. And you can find my YouTube channel by literally just going to youtube.com and putting in Dr. Ryan, and it'll actually pop up, I think, 6th or 7th on the search list. So I'm going to put out some really incredible stuff there, and I love to stay connected with all you guys, and add me on Facebook. And Doug, I can't thank you enough for having me on this call. And what I like to tell everybody is, look, you know, we're at a moment now in your life where you have to make a decision, and, you know, you have to just make a decision not to stop living a someday life. We literally have the greatest opportunity in our world today, right now, right in front of us. And we have all the skills and systems and abilities and people to mentor us right in front of us. And we're positioned in the greatest shift of wealth that are ever occur in our lifetimes. And there's going to be books written about Ambit Energy and the success stories that come out of it. And you got a decision to make. You know, 10 to 30 years from now, you could be explaining to your great grandkids why they have so much more than everyone else around them, why they can go to any school in the world that they choose, why they don't have to worry about money. Or you could be explaining to them how you got started in Ambit Energy, but you failed to take action, and how you could have set yourself and your family free with Ambit Energy, and how you could have, should have, would have been one of the thousands of millionaires that came out of Ambit. And what I'll tell you is, regret is a painful thing, and you can make money or you can make excuses, but you can't make both. And what I'll tell you guys, it's never too late. And today is the first day to the rest of your life. And I want to thank everyone that's gotten on this call. I personally care and love everyone on this call, and nothing would make me happier than seeing everyone on this call find much more success than I ever had. So thank you so much, Doug. I appreciate you so much. And it's been great.
Man, right back at you. I couldn't have closed it down any better myself. So that is great stuff, guys. And we'll put all the notes on Ambitious Radio. There'll be a show notes page for Dr. Ryan, and we'll put links to all the things that he discussed, the books, and his YouTube channel. So you can just go right to Ambitious Radio and click on Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50 there, Dr. Ryan, and we will put it on there. Guys, go out there and be ambitious.
You've been listening to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by the Ambitious Radio Network and hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with Ambit leaders on topics that can be applied to your business immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.